It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. Happy Friday, and what a hell of a thirsty Thursday yesterday was. My goodness, baseball all day long, all day strong. How you like them Phillies? Yes, sir. Last night, wall-to-wall basketball, the Cavs and the Magic. The Cavs didn't even show up to play. They must have gone to Disney World or something. I don't know what the hell they were doing. The Magic scored 121 points, beat the absolute breaks off the Cavs. That was nasty. In the Knicks 76ers got a much-needed win. Huge 43-point third quarter. Embiid with a little bit of dirty play. Brunson finally did show up. He had 39 and 13 assists, but 76ers took care of business. We got the Nuggets and the Lakers. Talking about Cavs not showing up. What about D'Lo not showing up last night? That is still probably the craziest thing I've seen. D'Lo last night scored as many points as you did. As many points as I did in that game. And by the way, he played. He scored 0 points, was 0 for 7 from the field, 0 for 6 from downtown, and was too busy to go to a huddle because he was checking his like IG account or something. That's what the kids call it now.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, the IG, right? Instagram?
Right.
What do you think he was actually checking?
I don't know. Maybe it was his IG.
Do you think he was like maybe sliding into somebody's DMs he saw front row or something?
Yeah, probably. He was like, oh, I know her. And then he was like,
let me go DM her real quick because we're getting ready to go on vacation.
That's right. Hey, I'm throwing this game so that we can go to
Cabo. Here we come.
Couldn't remember the area that all the basketball players get to.
Cabo. Now, I know a bunch of people who went to La Playa, which is not far from Cabo, for the widespread panic thing last week. And they said like 70 people got like sick. Mm. But they were troopers and they did 4 nights of panic down in Mexico. They said the thing that they remembered most was, I don't know if I should probably.
Viva La Panic.
Yeah, they had a little fun. But man, Lakers fans didn't have any fun. Do you know that this is the first team to ever have double-digit leads in all three games and find themselves in a hole 0-3. The Nuggets toy with them. Like, it's crazy. You got LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But the Joker, he's ridiculous. I mean, my man was almost had another triple-double. 24 points, 15 boards, and 9 assists. Dude's nasty. Nasty. We're going to talk a lot of NBA because we got a lot of basketball. Not only did we have a good night last night, today looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We got 4:30 basketball today. That's right. It's a beautiful Friday. It's time to take off work a little early. Get home. Go to the liquor store. Get you a little bit of Tito's to start your Friday, your little Fiesta Friday, a little bit early. You know Tito's is the best spirit around. If life ever hands you lemons, you don't freak out. You don't fret. You don't stress. You just make a lemon drop. You make sure it's with the best. That's Tito's handmade vodka. Get your Friday started off early because we got Bucks Pacers. Indiana's a 6.5-point favorite over the Bucks. This is a 1-1 tie, baby. 1-1. 1-1 series tie. 223.5 is the total, highest total on the board today. Clippers and the Mavericks. They're in Dallas. Series all knotted up at one game apiece. Dallas 4.5-point favorite. The total's 212.5. And then tonight, you have the Timberwolves and the Sun. The Minnesota Timberwolves defense has been absolutely filthy. KD and company just can't get going. Timberwolves up 2-0 in Phoenix tonight. And Phoenix is a 4.5-point favorite, 207. We'll talk about our bets at the end of the program around 12:50 today, Mr. Dacus. We got some hardwood because it feels so good. I got some wild stories today. That's going to be around 12-ish. Because we have T-Money and Uncle Brasky, two amazing degenerates that I absolutely love. We'll talk about Wingfest last weekend. We'll talk about some bets. They've been on a heater for a while, so we'll get bets, 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 and some more bets. But, man, we got to talk a little NFL draft. Wild night last night. Wild night. Some serious reaches. Serious reaches. I mean, it's a historic draft. I mean, we had six quarterbacks drafted in the first 12 picks. Six quarterbacks drafted in the first 12 picks. That is wild. 14 straight offensive players were selected, by the way. It's the longest streak at any point, not to start a draft, but at any point they've never had 14 straight offensive players go throughout the draft. 14 straight offensive players. Bam, bam, bam. And then we saw also some lunacy, by the way. Holy moly. What the hell were the Bills doing last night? Hey, Kansas City. Here's our pick. Go ahead and get Xavier Worthy, who ran a 4.21. Dude, that little dude out of Texas is a tough little sucker. You know what I'm saying? Tough. I mean, and then you let Leggett get out of there. Like, all these wide receivers. And I don't know if you remember, but guess who doesn't have Diggs?
The Bills.
That would be the Bills, because guess who's got them? C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. They got a lot. They got some great wide receivers. By the way, I thought it was also pretty fascinating about my man, all the different shows last night that were on. Did you watch any of the different broadcasts last night, like the Pat McAfee one?
I watched a lot of Pat.
Did you see the one with us? I mean, Pat, by the way, let me tell you something. The Bill Belichick
was great.
I loved it.
He was awesome.
I can't believe this. Bill Belichick's good on television.
Mm-hmm, he sure is. I mean, same thing.
Nick Saban was okay.
Oh,
yesterday.
I didn't see much of him yesterday.
I saw him on Pat McAfee yesterday. He was okay. He wasn't bad at all. He was different than I expected.
He was on the ABC broadcast the entire night. But that's the thing, is like the first time we saw Nick Saban on, I remember his first media thing that he did was he joined the Pat McAfee Show weekly, and we were all going, ugh, that's not going to work. And then it was like, oh, he's great on with Pat, because it's this other side we don't see. He opens up. He's awesome. Same exact thing with Bill Belichick. These are two guys that we know are great coaches. They don't let that side of themselves be shown, but we know that side's there, and they're able to show it now, and it's great.
I like the fact that Bill Belichick, instead of kissing everybody's tail and talking about how absolutely wonderful every single player is, like most people do, he actually gave 50-50 praise, 50-50 criticism.
You must not have seen when Barry Sanders was on the set with him. I mean, you would have thought that he was about to go over there and jump on Barry Sanders.
Who?
Bill Belichick.
I missed that part.
Oh, man. He was like, it was like everything. Like, Barry Sanders would say something. He'd go, oh, man. Oh, Pat, you don't even understand. I mean, when Barry Sanders was out there running, I mean, oh, man, you would game plan for him for 3-4 weeks, months. I mean, there was no stopping Barry Sanders. Oh, man. Oh, man. And I was like, Bill, calm down a little bit.
I loved how he was being honest with his critiques basically about every single draft pick, especially like Drake May and his footwork, and talking about how, I mean, this is his former team. They just drafted Drake May, and he didn't go out there. By the way, and he also criticized the whole damn roster pretty much. Mm. I thought Bill Belichick was fascinating last night. But again, back to the draft. Watching all that stuff, there was one thing that I noticed that was, remember who I was talking about, Ricky Pearsall?
Mm-hmm.
Florida, he had some of the greatest catches that I've ever seen. Another wide receiver who went in the top in the first round. Tons of wide receivers, by the way. I don't think you realize it. C.J. Stroud was...
He was mad.
Was mad. And I started thinking to myself, well, C.J., hold up, C.J. You just got Diggs. You got Nico. And you got the tank. Like, how much... Oh, and by the way, they also got you a running back in Joe Mixon. Like, what else do you need, C.J.? But, man, it was an interesting draft. There was some weird stuff. And, again, I'm going to ask you a question pretty simply. Because Caleb Williams went number one overall, kind of expected. But I want to ask you a little something about these quarterbacks. means six quarterbacks win the first 12 picks. And I look over at Denver, who reached and took Bo Nix at number 12, and I find that insane. I really do. I just think that's nuts. And again, Bo Nix, 61 starts, most starts in college football. Do I love the fact that he's played a lot of college football? I absolutely do. Brock Purdy, coming out of Iowa State, played a lot of football. But when you look around the National Football League and you look at the quarterback positions, the quarterbacks that are good have superpowers. Patrick Mahomes has a rubber arm. He can throw it from any angle. His anticipation, his skill at throwing the football is second to none in the history of the game. I mean, him and Dan Marino, like Dan Marino's quick release, Patrick Mahomes throwing it from any angle and accurate as all get out. Tua Tagovailoa, do you know what his superpower is?
Karate. Didn't he do karate?
Well, he did to do that to be able to fall, and it was jujitsu.
Ah, right.
Not karate. They are very different. No, they're very different. Don't say that around, man. UFC's huge, bro. But you look at Tua. Probably processes information better than anybody. His anticipation with the football, he sees it faster than anybody. That's why he gets the ball out faster than anybody. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but damn it, he dissects defense faster than anybody in football, and he throws an accurate, catchable ball. His superpower is the ability to process information and deliver an accurate, catchable football. Josh Allen, what's his superpower? He's a freaking freight train that you can't pull down, and he has an absolute rifle on his arm. Brock Purdy, you say, well, what's his superpower? On third down, have you ever seen anybody who's more calm and doesn't get rattled by the big moment than Brock Purdy? His superpower is he's basically Joe Cool, and he uses every ounce of athleticism. He'll use his legs to run around to extend the play. He might run for the first down, and you don't even think of him as a running quarterback, or he will deliver a hell of a football like he did in the Super Bowl and throughout the playoffs. The kid, since he's coming in the league, he uses every ounce of athletic ability and his brain and his know-how to get the most out of what he's got. Lamar Jackson, what's his superpower? Duh, his legs. Try to get that man down on the ground. Seriously. So, like, all the quarterbacks have superpowers. Tell me what Bo Nix's superpower is. He does have 61 starts. I like that. He is, quote, the most accurate quarterback in college football history. 77 point what? Like 2%? What is the completion percentage? He didn't throw the ball past 6 yards 85% of the time. In the National Football League, you just can't throw screens and go sideline to sideline. And I don't know, and I know Sean Payton believes in himself, and I know Bo Nix reminds me a lot of the J.J. McCarthy and the kind of person that he is, and the aspect that this is, you're going to get every bit of Bo Nix that you can get. He's married, he's mature. All he wants to do is win. It's faith, family, and football with Bo Nix. Like, he eats, drinks, sleeps, and he doesn't smoke, but if he did, he would smoke football.
Father, coach.
Well, yes. That, I mean, it's in his blood.
I actually fell in love with Bo Nix last week because I didn't know, but he was born in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. His father was the head coach of Henderson State. I love Henderson State. They're my favorite Division II school. So that made me, I had to be a Bo Nix fan after that. But I just learned it like a week ago.
He's not the smallest guy. He's like almost 6'2". He's very durable, doesn't get injured, but he's never pushed the ball down the field. He does have big-ass hands, though.
Sure does.
That's one thing that I do have to say. Like, I mean, he's not going to – this guy's holding on to the football. He's not turning it over. But has Bo Nix got realistically a superpower? And you can sit there and say, well, what about the other ones? I don't know. Like, Bo Nix and I think J.J. McCarthy's superpower is their attitude. Because they both eat, drink, sleep football. You know, Bo Nix does it more in a traditional way, faith, family, football. you know, J.J. McCarthy's meditating, positive energy, super, super positive. And they both, you know, J.J. is talented. I mean, he's got a good arm. He can run the ball. It's just in Michigan, he wasn't asked to put the ball on. It wasn't ever asked of him to go out there and win a football game, you know? But damn it, I watched him lose that game against TCU. Three first half interceptions. I actually think they all were in the first quarter. So I'm kind of curious what that is. And you can say, well, what about the damn Falcons going up and getting old Michael Penix Jr.? Michael Penix Jr., who was injured often early in his career, has been very healthy at Washington ever since. In the NFL, they don't let you breathe on him. I said this yesterday. Tom Brady played until he's 45. They gave $180 million to Kirk Cousins, who's coming off an Achilles, who's 35. Aaron Rodgers is coming back from an Achilles. He's 40. Like, if you can play the position, these doctors are going to keep you up, but you're not taking the abuse. And he does. And by the way, the superpower of Michael Penix Jr., that left hand is nasty, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
He can sling the football. He has a quick release. The ball is accurate, and he can make every single throw. Another guy who also processes information extremely, extremely fast. Drake May you know what Drake May reminds me of? That dude who just, like, God, he looks just like a quarterback.
Mm.
Big guy, look at him. I mean, he looks like a Justin Herbert, big boy. But also, like, if you listen to Bill Belichick and you saw it on some of the film, he has terrible footwork. The good thing is, going to New England, I don't think that he's going to start, do you? You got Jacoby Brissett there. You're awful. Are you going to go throw out that guy and actually ruin him right off the bat when he's already not sound in the pocket with his footwork? He's got a big arm. He's got a lot of athletic ability. The dude can run. He just needs work. I mean, Josh Allen, when he came out of Wyoming, and this is the thing where you can fix him. Josh Allen, when he came out of Wyoming, had his footwork was terrible. His throwing motion was terrible. But he was a big, strong kid. Buffalo completely got in the lab. They fixed everything. Did you see the way they did it, where they did it on the computer and had, like, you know, his whole body movement and would videotape him, like, 1,000 frames per second? And, like, I mean, they got in there and worked.
Interesting.
So you can do that with Drake May, but you have to do that. Caleb Williams does have superpowers. But I also feel like he's got, like, a lot of love for Caleb Williams. And then, you know, I love Jaden Daniels because he can run, he can throw, he can play from the pocket, which you like in the National Football League. So I look at all those quarterbacks. I feel like the one who got the best is definitely Washington. But I look at the situations that are the best, and I would ask you this. Who's in the better situation to succeed? Is it Caleb Williams or is it J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota? Because in Chicago, they've never had a 4,000-yard passer. They've never had a dude throw over 30 touchdowns in a season. Matt Eberflus, do you actually trust him to be the person that fixes the quarterback situation? We've seen them ruin Justin Fields. We've seen, like, all the quarterbacks that have come through Chicago. And the best one we can go back to is Jay Cutler, and before that is Jim McMahon. In Minnesota, you got Kevin O'Connell, who I think is an absolute genius. And I look at what's around J.J. McCarthy. Let's not forget Justin Jefferson is that dude. You remember 18,000 yards his first year?
Yep.
He was injured last year. He's back. They also have Jordan Addison. Big reason Caleb Williams probably wasn't good last year is because he didn't have Jordan Addison, because that dude was a bad mamma jamma when he won his Heisman at USC, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He was doing it all, catching the ball and gone. T.J. Hockenson, a good tight end. And did you see the running back that they grabbed, Aaron Jones?
Mm-hmm.
That's some nice pieces right there for J.J. to walk into. Caleb's not bad, because you know who they also got other than Caleb Williams?
Odunze.
They got Rome Odunze out of Washington. And, like, let me tell you something. I like Neighbors and Adunze more than Harrison. Don't get me wrong. I love Marvin Harrison Jr. He's a baller. But Neighbors is got speed and speed and speed. 42-inch vertical, 210 pounds at freaking 5'11 and a half. Just different gears and his route running ability. Look, this is LSU. He runs routes like Jamar Chase just has more speed. So I love the wide receivers in this draft. And then Rome Odunze, is there somebody that you would trust to throw the football to more than him? The dude goes up and gets everything. He's just that dude. He's big, he's fast, he's strong. And if you need the ball, if you have to go to anybody on one play, I think I trust Rome Odunze on third down more than anybody in the draft. But you also team Caleb up with Rome, and you have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and let's not forget, they also have DeAndre Swift. Which quarterback is walking into the better situation? I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's a good question.
We're going to talk a lot of NFL. We got the NFL draft. We got round two getting ready to start up here tonight. You got all kinds of playoff basketball. Again, get home early. Get out of work early today, people. 4:30 NBA action. On the other side, we're going to talk a little draft. We're talking some NBA because we got Jay Ham, the historian, in the house. Don't touch the dial on a Friday. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let's get nuts.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Friday, everybody. Yesterday was straight dizzope. First round of the NFL draft, three playoff games, baseball, and a bottle of Tito's, yeah. I love that also, that we're going to do the same thing again on Friday. We got second round of the NFL drafts. We got three playoff games. The first one starts at 4:30, which is straight up awesome. Oh, yeah, and we got day baseball again. Man, like, I got to tell you something. This time of the year with the weather and all the things that are going on in sports, doesn't it just feel good?
It's the best time of year.
Man, it's best time of year so many times. I feel like once it gets September and I got football back on, best time of year. And then when you get to like Thanksgiving, you have Thanksgiving Day games. And then Christmas Day when you got all the NBA and the NFL and you got presents and you're drinking Tito's.
Then that's the most glorious time.
Glorious time of the year, the New Year's. You know, bowl season starting up and like with the good games. Like, hey, there's so many damn good times of the year.
When you get to that part, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
And then it's we have
like
the summer.
Carolyn.
We do have that middle part of summer where we just get to all go vacation and hang out at the beach because the only thing is regular season baseball. And as much as I love baseball, you know, July baseball, you can be ready to take a little break.
Yeah, you can. But then if you're a hoop head like me, you have the WNBA, you have the TBT.
What's the TBT?
That's the basketball tournament where guys pretty much from like older players, the college players, former players.
I know what it is.
And they play,
yeah, I've seen that.
They
junk.
Play for like $2 million.
I've seen that.
Winner take all prize. It started off as $1 million and then they bumped it up to $2 million after like the first year or two.
I would say one thing, summers are better now. Like, because when I was growing up, the only thing to do in the summer was watch, because we didn't have all the baseball networks. No,
Pete,
man, it was
Matt
that
Buren
stupid show. Like, I'd have to watch before the Cubs game when I was growing up on kid. It was always the show that was always like Supermarket Sweep. Supermarket freaking Sweep.
Yeah.
Like, man, I think Supermarket Sweep's the reason I still do damn grocery shopping.
Yeah, I mean, but didn't you all used to always want to get those 5-pound turkeys that they used to have?
I just knew that I would always win Supermarket Sweep, man. Some of those people were terrible.
This is true.
I know I'm winning that, John. But, man, I got to ask you for real. Who did the sweep of the board last night? You got to give the Bears a lot of credit, man. They got Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. That's pretty damn nasty. Who was absolutely terrible? The first thing that comes to mind is, what the hell are the Denver Broncos doing? They paid Russell Wilson millions of dollars to get the bleep out of town. Mm-hmm. They have Jared Stidham. They bring in Zach Wilson from the Jets. Mm-hmm. And then last night they draft Bo Nix with the 12th pick in the draft, the sixth damn quarterback taken in the first 12 picks. I like Bo Nix. 61 starts. Beautiful. Accurate. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how his game translates to the NFL. Know.
Perhaps John Elway got some infused Coors Light.
No, dude, this is Sean Payton believing in Sean Payton to the detriment possibly of the Denver
Broncos. Perhaps they're sharing
the
infused Coors Light. I'm just saying. It's some infused Coors Light going
with
on
weed?
Around there. Yeah.
They got weed Coors Light.
I'm quite sure they do in Denver.
Oh, well, it is Denver. Well, I mean, all you have to do is probably take the oil and then pour it in your Coors Light.
You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to be honest with you, John. I watched not a single draft pick last night.
You were watching basketball.
I watched all hooping.
Man, I had both TVs. I had two TVs.
I had it up on my laptop
and,
with the
and
update,
both my phones.
Yeah, I had it up on the update.
Because one phone's got one betting service. The other phone's got another betting service.
And I could have had the draft up on the laptop, but I had some old wrestling that I was watching. It was more entertaining. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, then I ain't talking draft with you. I'm going to ask you then first.
But the Bo Nix part, I get.
You get. I'm just saying that, I mean, this is, by the way, let's not forget, you know, Denver plays in the AFC West with Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert, and you got Bo Nix.
Since John Elway retired.
They had the sheriff for 1 year.
How many quarterbacks have they went through
when he was bad?
In the 25 years that since he's been retired.
A bunch. Remember Paxton Lynch?
See what I'm saying? And the one that he won with was the broken down
Peyton Manning
who looked like he was in pain to throw, but he had a killer defense with them.
Yeah, no kidding. Von Miller was a machine.
That was one of the all-time great Super Bowl runs for a defense, in my opinion.
I'm with you. But the year he was actually good, though, what was it, Champ Bailey who forgot to
The 2 years he was good, actually. Because remember, 12, he was
still
good.
Cover homie down the sideline.
And that's when Jacoby Jones beat yep. Champ. And then the next year, that's when Peyton broke all the records and they got to the Super Bowl, scored mm-hmm. 8 points. So... Ran it to the bone. But it's been a long... They kind of like the Lakers.
Dude, let me tell you something. Like, Denver's like the Lakers?
The quarterback situation in Denver is kind of like the Lakers, which is kind of like the Dallas Cowboys. They all kind of tie in to where they have this repeated pattern of insanity of keep trying to do things the same way that they've always done, but not
getting different results.
Same, right.
Yep.
And this is what you're seeing with the Lakers right now. If I can...
No, it's true, man. The Lakers with D'Lo last night. Let me just tell you something. How in
the
hell?
No, we've been blamed D'Lo.
I'm going to tell you right now.
We've been blamed D'Lo. We've been blamed Darvin Ham. We've been blamed none of them. We've been blamed LeBron either. We can't blame AD. We got to blame the blueprint of what it is.
The Nuggets are just better. They beat them in 11 straight games.
One part of that. But
no, I'm upset
about
D'Lo.
The Lakers build.
I'll get into the Lakers build, but first of all, I do want to tell you that D'Lo, what was the one thing that I said at the beginning of this? D'Lo has to show up in this playoff for them to have a damn chance. He was 0-for-7 from the field, and when the damn Lakers are fighting for their playoff lives, everybody's in a huddle. D'Lo's over here sliding into some girl's DMs that's sitting in the front row, man, on his
D'Lo.
Phone.
I understand D'Lo there.
I don't like D'Lo.
I'm counterculture these days, John.
I'm not into D'Lo.
It's just what it is. B, you feel me on this, though,
B. I feel you.
Sometimes dude, you just kind of got to just
LeBron's been
stuff
playing
just
21
be.
Seasons. And, like, Anthony Davis is having a beast of a game, and you're going to be sitting over there
and
on the phone.
Let me explain something, man. Since the bubble that y'all discredit,
I'm the one that discredits the bubble.
Since the bubble...
This playoff
Lakers,
game was rigged, man. Grizzly should
have
won.
The Lakers have been a play-in contestant since the bubble. Since the play-in has been introduced, the Lakers have been a contestant.
More proof that
with
the bubble wasn't
the
real.
Well, the bubble year was the first year of the play-in, technically.
No, it wasn't. The Grizzlies, that thing was thrown.
Right, they lost to Portland.
The Grizzlies lost, and that was BS.
And they would have saw L.A. in the first round, and that L.A. team was not losing in the battle.
That's true.
Sure. That's just what it was. That year, I don't think they was losing in the battle, pandemic or not. But play-in, then the following year, they missed the playoffs. They were the 11th seed. mm-hmm. play in. They caught a favorable matchup with us, caught another favorable matchup with Golden State, and they found themselves in the conference finals where they got a gentleman sweep to this same team who's really was a better team, because I thought that Bruce Brown made them a better team in general. But here we are again, 3-0, and they're on the break tomorrow night. Your salary cap, if you want, I'm not one for counting money, but this is just what it is. You got 70% of your money tied up into a dude who's going to be 40 at the end of the year and another dude who's going to be 32 with a whole bunch of injuries. And they're balling. They're doing their thing. So it's easy to blame what you brought in around them when it doesn't work. It's easy to blame the coach when you didn't really set him up for success anyway. You set him up to make the playoffs. That's what he's going to do. He made the playoffs. That's just what it is. Now, let's go back 5 years. Now, you anybody will take this trade off. If we're in 2019 and I tell you that we're finna move Josh Hart, we're gonna move Brandon Ingram, we're gonna move all these dudes.
Yeah, Ingram.
And we're gonna bring AD in. We got him with LeBron, and within the next 5 years, we're at least gonna win a championship. And it may happen early. We'll take it early. But that was if we will win a championship next year, but the next 4 years after that, we'll be playing contestants. Who's not going to take that trade off? We'll take that trade off in Memphis right now just because it says championship. We want to win more than one, but to get to one? How many teams you not think you're not taking that? Real talk.
Oh, no, I'm with you on that one. I hear you, but now there's that point in time where now you have to say, okay, that this five-year run's happened, and LeBron, you're right, he's 21 seasons.
This is the fun part.
You're still letting him run.
Outside of the 90s, they never had to build organically and be successful. The 90s was the only decade that the Lakers didn't win a championship. Maybe in the 60s as well. But modern era, the 90s. They got one in the early 70s. Got five in the 80s. The 90s was the only decade that they didn't win.
Well, Lakers fans, I'm happy for you.
Since 2011, since Andrew Bynum basically chokeslammed J.J. Barrett.
My question is, what's your name? What's your answer, though, for the Lakers then? Do they have to blow it up?
At some point, they're going to have to call Acme, get the dynamite sticks, blow it up, and grow. At some point, they're going to have to grow their base core guys from an organic standpoint. Even Showtime was grown organically, but let's discuss real quick how they got Showtime built organically. They got Kareem via free agency. That was in 76. Magic, you get number one overall from from a lopsided trade, and you are a playoff team. James Worthy, you won a world championship. You got him number one overall. Another lopsided trade. Byron Scott, another lopsided trade. You get him fourth overall a couple years later. All of these pieces, that forms. You already had Michael Cooper. You drafted Michael Cooper. You got, what, those four Hall of Famers, because Coop going in now. This year. That's how they built that, through dumb moves from other GMs in the past. Kind of the same way Red Auerbach built the Celtics in the 80s, too. Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale were not Celtics like that. They were elsewhere. He traded for them, got them, put them with Bird. They're off to the races. They win 60 plus games for the next 7 years and a few championships to go with it. League's completely different now. With unrestricted free agency that you didn't have back then like that, not as widespread. And then
And Jerry Buss was doing his thing. And then but you have Genie running and you have Rob Pelinka, who, like you said, has got that title.
And
but
the architect of that was Jerry West. Mm-hmm. It was saying it's just the whole dynamic of this whole thing is changing. The market, they've always been able to lean on were Hollywood. The Clippers are Hollywood too, but they weren't able to ever lean on that. You know what I'm saying? They were. Yeah, you.
Clippers aren't Hollywood.
But they're in the same.
The Clippers were the B
market.
Team. Donald Sterling forever wouldn't let the Clippers be successful.
And now he's out of the way and you have a new era.
Steve Ballmer's trying his best, but Kawhi's broken.
They're about to get a new building. They're in a better contention spot than the Lakers are right now. Granted, they had won.
No, I agree with that. They had won Chag.
But that's what I'm saying. The dynamic is slowly and gradually changing where I can get on any social media platform and I had a meme that I had made. Basically, you remember the Hispanic cat from Next Friday, Chico?
Mm-hmm.
Joker, and basically with him with a quote bubble saying the Clippers run LA, Holmes, and people get upset when I post. It's better than the Laker fans, but it's like, yo, it's a trigger. It's fun.
The Clippers are in LA, but they ran it out.
It's like, of course I know they don't run LA, but if it gonna get under y'all skin, just the thought, the idea of it, and it's like, well, let's talk about now. We ain't worried about what happened in the '80s and this, that, and the other. No, let's talk about the here and now. They better than y'all right now. Just what it is.
Well, we got to talk on the other side about what's up with the 76ers Knicks series. What do you think about Joel Embiid, the fact that he pulled down Robinson like with the thing and he got hurt? I mean, he had an ankle injury. That's why he was out before the whole situation.
That man got Bell's palsy.
Yeah, Embiid, like everybody's seen his eye, bro.
That's crazy, yo.
And he's also got a bad knee.
He put up 50?
Did you even know what Bell's palsy was?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Jim Ross.
What?
I'm a fan of Jim Ross. I'm a wrestling fan. Yeah, Jim Ross had suffered through that for years. It's a facial paralysis deal.
Yeah, some with your nerves or something.
Yeah, and you know what causes it? Stress.
I didn't know anything about it until Embiid got that.
Caused by stress. A lot of stress. And you think about this, the amount of mental stress and anguish that Joel Embiid has been in since he's been in the league. The decade now that he's been in the league. He's only had like 5 healthy seasons for half the time that he's been there, so... It's crazy.
We're going to take a quick time out. We got a lot of hoops to talk about. We got games starting, man. We got the first game today starting at 4:30. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't touch that all. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56, WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Friday. Busy, busy day, man. NBA action today starts at 4:30. We're with Jay Ham, the historian. We're going to talk some more NBA. First and foremost, though, we had the NFL draft last night. All kinds of awesome stuff happened. One thing, though, I just wanted to mention because it's on my mind is John Lynch. I remember when he got hired for the GM position in San Francisco, a lot of the talking heads are like, what the hell does John Lynch know about being a GM? Oh, he did this work in Tampa behind the scenes. Dude, he's the best GM in football. Last night, getting Ricky Pearsall, where he got him all the way down there at the 31st pick, when you got Brandon Ayuk, you're about to trade out that door. Son, you got Debo and Ricky running around there with Run CMC.
The irony in this is that we started out the show talking about one Stanford guy that's a GM and president, and he ain't getting dirty.
Damn.
Right. And you come back from the break and you start off with another Stanford guy. You giving him props. You say he's the best GM in all of football.
Because
I'm thinking, I'm like, he's a Stanford guy. Why wouldn't he? Then I'm like, so was John Elway.
Yes. That's right. That's right. Man, I love the NFL draft, but we're taking a break. We're talking NBA because the playoffs are really rolling through. And what we saw last night, that Knicks 76ers first half was probably the best half of basketball I've seen in the playoffs this season.
Yeah. That was a good game.
That was a good game.
They've had three good games.
It ended up being
games.
A double-digit win for the 76ers.
Right.
They really did take control in the third quarter. Jaylen that first
Brunson
half, that was out of control.
Awesome, though.
Jaylen Brunson is awesome, but what Embiid did, dropping 50 points last night on one knee and Bell palsy.
And on 19 shots.
Man.
19 shot attempts. Bell's palsy, all kind of crazy stuff.
Looking crazy as hell.
Right. You know, like Smokey said, he need to comb his hair. It looked like a bunch of spiders having a meeting on it. You know, but just... that's a fun series because that's a real historical blood feud. You know what I'm saying? Knicks and Sixers, anything Philadelphia, New York, in any sport is a blood feud.
It is a blood feud.
That's, you know, I-95, the subway, the whole deal. They take the train to come see each other.
How come? By the way, I wanted to ask you this because you could definitely talk about this real quick. How did they win that game with Tobias Harris playing like, I think, terrible?
Offensively, yeah. Defensively, he's competing. That's where they're getting it at. A few steps that they had in New York where just a couple of bounces go their way, they're up 2-1 instead of down 2-1.
I mean, that was that was Nick Nurse's fault and the officials' fault.
Nick Nurse is dope because he will overthink stuff. He overthinks stuff the right way, though. It's like, you probably could have dialed it back on some, but I see what you were looking at. You know?
I mean, with 40 seconds left in that ball game, even though it was like, what?
Got a rebound. Got a box out, got a rebound. It's my game, too, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got a box out, got a rebound. You know?
Got to hit your free throws, Kyle.
Got to make your free throws. You know, just those little things.
Tell you one thing, though. I was the happiest man in the world that night. I was running around naked in the street because, buddy, that was a game that I thought I lost 100,000%.
Now, when did they play again tomorrow, right?
Actually, I don't think they play till.
No, it's tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Yes. Okay.
Oh, we got Saturday ball. It started at noon, don't we?
Yep.
We were laughing. We were watching on our Zoom.
Let's see.
Just watching as a crew last night at 94 Feet of Life. Just watching, you know, just talking ball and the whole deal.
No, they don't play till Sunday.
Who are y'all talking about?
The Knicks and 76ers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Lakers.
No, Knicks 76ers Lakers,
yeah,
play Sunday.
Right, Sunday.
Man, y'all got me thinking.
Well, because you were talking about how much you were celebrating because you thought you lost the game, and I know you were talking about that after you bet on Denver.
No, that was
when they went down. Right, but it was the same day
it was
after
the same
you're
day,
talking
yeah.
about. And we're you're talking back. A lot about the Nuggets comeback, so I got confused.
That was a double naked run night, right, man. Right.
So I got
the Knicks won
on
a miracle,
run, yeah.
And Denver came all the way back from down 20.
When they play Sunday, watch Rick Bronson.
Yeah.
This dude is never satisfied.
No. You think Thibodeau's angry.
I'm talking about this dude is like pissed, like Rick. Like, Rick, what, why? You know what I mean? It's good. Your son's got 40, Rick. I mean, what more do you want? You know, but it's just he has this look of just disgust all the time. Like, this dude is never satisfied. We had a good time laughing at that last night.
I thought the thing that caught me off guard, because you being a historian, man, did you see all the – I mean, John Stark was there courtside.
Yeah.
Like, it AI, felt like
– AI, of course. And I like the fact that Stark's made the road trip because he was at games 1 and 2 anyway. You know what I'm saying? So he made the trip down to Philly for game three. We'll probably see him again on Sunday. So Starks is invested. You know, that's pretty cool to see. You know, if we can get Charles Oakley and the rest of them dudes back out there, it's always fun when the Knicks are rolling. And right now, they got some dogs. You know what I'm saying? I think they're going to be ultimately too much for Philly, and they'll end up winning the series 6 or 7.
Oh, by the way, they got some dogs, and they also got the lightest-skinned brother in the history of the world.
Who that? Isaiah?
No, Harston.
That's what I'm saying, Isaiah Harston.
Oh, yeah, I did. Isaiah. Yeah, his name's Isaiah, too.
I like the cat. He, you know what? You know where he's needed, right?
Here.
Right here in Memphis.
Oh.
He's perfect for what we need
Seven
here.
7 foot, hits that
fully
little
skilled,
teardrop.
Fully skilled, can handle all of the grunt work, healthy. This is exactly what that crew needs. That's why he's flourishing with that crew, because he's around a bunch of hoopers. Same kind of deal. He's around a bunch of young hoopers. They hungry.
Game 2, they don't win without him because Brunson was feeding him down low, and he kept making that little teardrop over Embiid's head, man. That was nasty.
I gotta get that up to Leon Rose and World Wide West and the crew up in New York, man. They really changed the culture up there for real. You know what I'm saying? I get a Knicks a hard time on social media. I troll the hell out of Knicks just because it's fun. Historically, they have this. They're kind of like Memphis State basketball, where they think we're better than what we really are. But
Memphis fans right now slamming on their brakes.
Hey, holler at 360-8255. Holler at us, you know. But it's just one of those deals where it's like, hey, man. Historically, they are what they are, but when they're good, the league is just that much more fun when they're good.
All right, before we get out of here, I do got to know, we got Bucks-Pacers tonight.
2-1
4-30.
Indy. 2-1 Indy.
Indy going to roll them, aren't they?
2-1 Indy. I ain't going to say they're going to roll them because Dame's a determined dude. And he got some angry dudes over there with him, like Bobby Portis. I walked into an alley at a dog night with Bobby Portis.
I like Pat Bev and Bobby Bev, Bobby Portis, the Arkansas blood. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
The toughness that they got really made me not want to shut down.
By the way, did you see Arkansas? Speaking of Arkansas, since we were talking about Arkansas, like just talk about Pat Bev and Bobby Portis. Did you see what John Calipari got today? He got a McDonald's All-American. By any chance, Dagas, did you see this?
Yeah, because it's like 12 of them in the portal, right?
Huh?
Yeah.
He got who?
Billy Richmond.
Yeah, half the McDonald's game is in the portal.
Dude, Arkansas is going to be good, bro. He also got Boogie Fland. Who's that?
That's another guy that was committed to him at Kentucky. These are all guys that were committed to him at Kentucky.
Five-star McDonald's All-American. Cal's cooking over there.
Yeah. Yeah, Flan committed yesterday.
That dude's smoking some butts.
Yeah. Well, all of his entire roster cooking right now are freshmen and a sophomore.
Pig suey. But dude, man, I'm telling you, man. How did the hell did I get on Cal?
I don't know.
Pat
Bev. Yeah, and Bobby Portis.
That's right.
So Pacers roll?
I think Pacers go up to 1. I'm not going to necessarily say they rolled on.
All right, tell everybody where they can find you.
YouTube.com/@94feetoflife. I don't know what we got coming up, but just keep your notifications on with us because I got Trav did a live film session the other day, pretty much of the breakdown of the Jamal Murray shot, the game winner.
That was awesome.
And just the defensive errors lapse on LeBron and the rest of the crew. And it was also just
Mentioned, man, what a stupid play by LeBron. Why are you shooting a three-pointer when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Like, you can go to overtime. Why are you shooting with 13 seconds and give him a shot to take that game from you?
You know who used to do that, too, as well? When Steph used to guard him, he used to settle
for a jumper. Man, I don't know if you know this, but Steph can hit threes.
That was that one. When Steph used to be guarding him as well, he used to settle for a jumper a lot of times in the finals. I watched a lot of film. It's just one of those things I see on Instinct. YouTube.com/@94feetoflife, though.
You are the man. That is Jay Ham. Thanks again.
Always, my guy.
Also, the greatest baker in the history of the world.
I got some new stuff coming up, too.
I'm going
to do one last little spring run, and I'm going to cut that oven down a little bit. But I'll still be mixing dough for my people. So, you know, I'm not going to necessarily stop. I supposed to have cookies. I got cookie dough.
I dig that because I can bake them at home.
You can bake them at home.
Don't y'all dare touch that aisle. We're back in two shakes. We got Hardenwood, and don't forget T-Money and Uncle Brasky on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.